When it comes to protecting the education of their children, many families in Colorado have turned to the Christian Home Educators of Colorado Independent School. The CHEC Independent School lets you educate your children at home without the worry of government regulation and intervention. For a registration fee of only $50 a year, you can school at home as part of the CHEC Independent School, a private school that understands your needs and respects your interests as parents. Don't let bureaucratic hassles and unnecessary restrictions bog you down. Call 877-842-CHEC to receive a free registration packet on schooling at home under the CHEC Independent School. You can also take advantage of CHEC's introductory seminars, conferences, testing centers, and their new resource center in Parker. Visit CHEC online at CHEC.org. That's CHEC.org. Or call them toll-free at 877-842-2432.
Christian families have not escaped the rapid increases in healthcare costs. They are looking for solutions. Does the Bible provide any answers to the problems that plague our healthcare system? There are a growing number of Christian families who have joined together through Samaritan Ministries. They are helping one another directly with medical needs, one Christian household to another. Every month, there are more than 10,000 households who pray with one another, send notes of care and encouragement, and give a monthly share to help with other members' needs. They are sharing nearly $1.5 million in needs every month, yet the monthly share is only $195, even less for couples and singles. Christians need to take the lead in demonstrating to others that the Bible really does have the answers, including health care. If you would like to know more about a movement of caring, committed believers, call Samaritan Ministries at 1-888-2-OTHERS or visit the website at www.samaritanministries.org.
It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, Mike's side in Elbert County, Colorado, is because I'm a father of five, raising my children out here on the plains of eastern Colorado. And, you know, we deal with the real issues of life on this program because we're dads, because we're Christians, because we serve God, and we want to bring a biblical worldview to bear on all areas of life, including the internet. Wow, the internet is taking off, Dave. I don't think there's a person out there who doesn't have access to the internet in some way, shape, or form. And now what you've got is people sinning on the internet. Sin. Yes, sin on the internet today, folks. People sin on the, well, they sin with everything, don't they, Dave? I mean, you get television, you sin with television. You get sex, you sin with sex. You get some alcohol or food, and you're sinning with that. Well, we've got this internet, and people will sin with these sorts of things. And now what we have is people attacking other people on the internet. Now, I understand when unbelievers, that is non-Christians, people don't agree with us. I understand when they attack people like us who stand for creation and God's existence and the moral law of God, etc., etc., etc. I understand why unbelievers would attack believers, but what you got today is a lot of believers or professing Christians saying mean things about other Christians. And now it all started with an innocuous email or two. I get these emails, and they've got some links. You click on the link, and before you know it, you've got a website that's got volumes upon volumes upon volumes of attack on other Christians and Christian ministries. All right, you've got, sometimes they attack the issues, but a lot of times it was ad hominem, all right? You've got a lot of really neat sort of adjectives of these things, like unethical, obnoxious, corrupt, less than honorable, legalistic, and these are words used to describe other Christians. Now, some of it is infantile, nothing really of substance, and sometimes, and most of it's embarrassing, because what you've got here is a bunch of material
for the whole world to watch. According to a secular news report, Ligonier Ministries, it's R.C. Sproul Sr., was pulled into the morass by one particular blogger. Now, I'm not sure if everybody who has a really good ministry gets its own blogger or not. I don't know. Are you assigned a blogger by the Prince of the World Wide Web? I don't know.
I think, you know, just as you get like an angel or angels that guard over your life and protect you, that Satan may assign some fallen angels.
Well, evidently, Ligonier Ministries has their own little blogger, and they filed a complaint in the Seminole County Court against this guy. But according to the Orlando Sentinel article, the plaintiff was unable to pursue the suit due to the anonymous character of the blogger in question. Okay, interpreted, that means they didn't know who the guy was. Anonymous. Can you say anonymous, Dave?
Anonymous. It's,
nice.
I think it's catch me if you can. You can't catch me. I'm the blogger, man.
Yeah, maybe that's the game being played. But here's the thing. These guys have an agenda, and I'm not really sure what the agenda is. They're obviously upset over some issues. Some of the bloggers are upset over interracial marriage. They disagree with some conservative Christians that believe interracial marriage is okay. All right, so and then they get upset about these issues. Sometimes they're a little uptight about the word patriarchy. So if somebody in the Christian world is talking patriarchy versus matriarchy, I guess, that gets them upset. Sometimes I think they're envious. Envy plays a part. Envy is destructive. Envy is different than covetous. Envy wants to destroy. Covetousness just simply desires what other people want. And I'm wondering, Dave, if maybe some of these guys are a little bit envious of ministries that are bigger than their online slander ministry, okay? Maybe they run into these Christian ministries that have a little bit more impact, they're more effective, and they're getting the word out, they're actually getting a lot of hits on their website, and they're getting more hits than these slanderous bloggers get on their websites. Maybe it's that, or maybe they're just bitter and angry. Some of them do complain about the way they were counseled in a church discipline issue or whatever. But here's the question, my friends. Do you want to argue fine theological points by the not-so-effective means of character assassination? Is this really the way to do it? Do we really obtain justice for some offense by means of the objective, controlled, and clearly public judicial setting of the World Wide Web? I don't think that's going to happen. Well, folks, in just a moment, internet blogging. And we want to warn some of you from a biblical perspective, from a godly perspective. That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. If you have a business or ministry that accepts credit cards, then you need to talk to Cornerstone Bank Card. This is a Christian company that's giving thousands of businesses across the nation some of the best rates and service on the market. Cornerstone is owned by a homeschooling father of 9 children, and they are dedicated to doing business God's way. Folks, Cornerstone has helped me save hundreds of dollars on our credit card processing, and they can help you too. They've got the best rates. Give them a call at 1-800-508-9030 and tell them you heard it on Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Swanson here. There's a principle that has never let me down. I do business with the people I believe in. And that's why I go with George Sechrist Insurance for all my insurance needs. George is a man of honesty, integrity, and service. George will go the extra mile for me. I've seen him give up himself sacrificially for the needs of others. You can count on George. Auto, life, home, call George at George Sechrist Insurance, 303-979-1288. That's 303-979-1288. Back on Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson today. Blogging gossip happening all over the blogosphere these days. And Dave, unfortunately, this form of communication is way too accessible for the unwise and naive that is out there. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to get rid of the internet, please. I mean, this was Gore's idea. I think it was a great idea. All right. And I use the internet all the time. It's a great tool. It makes research much quicker. It makes communication much more accessible to all of us. But, Dave, here's the downside about it. It's much too easy to publish something to hit the send key. I mean, you can you can publish something with all kinds of grammatical errors in it, and you could publish something with all sorts of factual error in it. You could be lying, lying, and lying, and maybe even publishing slander, and by the time you've hit the send key, it's all over the world, my friend. I don't think people are aware of what they are doing when they hit the publish key. Dave, you know, when that happens, that those words are in stone. I'm not sure people realize that. But you can't take it back.
I don't think people do. I mean, when you gossip to your neighbor, he may or may not remember that, and he'll probably forget it over some time. But when you publish something on the Internet, those words have a permanence to them. They hang around not just as long as your blog is up, but Google captures basically every blog page that it can. Those words will exist as long as the Internet exists. And much like Mark Foley's instant messages, what you thought was only for a moment is for all eternity. And I think people need to be really aware that what they're publishing up, whether it be on their personal blog page or their MySpace.com page or whatever, hangs around.
And I think it was Jesus who said, every word a man says will be brought up at the day of judgment. And Dave, so we're not just talking about words published for the world for the next 100 years, as long as Google picks it up, but the Lord himself holds us responsible for the type of words that we publish, the kind of words that we say in the presence of others. Our words are critical. They're important. And I think the other thing is we got to be careful how much we countenance gossip, how much we countenance what people say. And I'm encouraging people today, be careful what you read. Be skeptical. I'm warning people not to believe everything they read. And this is the first thing that happens. Somebody hits the link. They wind up in a site that's griping about R.C. Sproul Sr. or R.C. Sproul Jr. or R.C. Sproul anybody else. And before you know it, they're reading through all of these gripes, whines, and complaints. And they're believing everything, Dave. I think the first thing that people do is want to believe the negative things that are said about others. What does that say about the human heart?
Well, it says the human heart is depraved and that we would find entertainment in gossip. But the other thing is the Bible tells us we are not even to receive a complaint against an elder without two or three witnesses. And these are generally church elders, people in ministry, and we're willing. In fact, we're anxious to go out there and find all the slanderous, all the character assassination. We want to participate. We want to be a spectator and cheer if it's really, really good.
And that may be what's behind a lot of folks who countenance the gossip and the gossip magazines as well. Maybe this is just the Christian form of gossip magazines. And as Dave mentioned, never ever receive an accusation against an elder or a pastor, a leader in the Christian world, without two or three witnesses. That comes from 1 Timothy chapter 5. And you know what? It says before. You need to hear the accusation before two to three witnesses, which means you better have the names and addresses, no anonymity. And here's the thing about most of these bloggers, they're anonymous. They don't publish their phone numbers. I don't get an address. I don't know how to contact these people. For the most part, we have no idea whether there's a church to whom they're accountable. In the case of the Ligonier lawsuit, you know, they had to withdraw the lawsuit because they had no idea who the guy was. They tried, according to them, they tried several times to obtain the church to whom the man was accountable so that they could have some means of resolving this situation, but the guy wouldn't even let them know what church he was accountable to. This is anonymity. This is an anonymous situation that is entirely, entirely unacceptable, my friends, when it comes to bringing an accusation against a Christian brother. Now, I had an opportunity to engage with one particular blogger towards the beginning of 2006. And this guy, over time, began, obviously he was upset with me. So I was trying to work it out with him. I said, okay, why don't you give me your phone number so we can chat about this a little bit. I wouldn't mind flying out to wherever you are to work it out with you. You know, I'm willing to go the extra mile to deal with this so we can in person work through this thing as godly people. Because, Dave, of course, I'm referring to Matthew 18.
mean, right? The classic passage, if your brother has something against you, if you feel there is a disagreement happening between you on something, whether it be doctrinal or practical in nature, you go to your brother. It doesn't say blog on your brother. It doesn't say gossip about your brother. It doesn't say email your brother. It doesn't say anything. It says go to your brother geographically. And if that means I got to fly across the country, I will do it. But this guy came back with his coy response, quote, I'm not particularly interested in a friendship with you, Mr. Swanson. Dave, what do you get from that? The guy wants anonymity. He doesn't want a relationship. He says, I don't want to be your friend. Well, what kind of response is that for a Christian? I don't want to be your friend? Where does that come from?
Well, I think there's on a number of levels is pretty interesting. First off, is you referred to Matthew 18. It says, if your brother sins against you, go to him, which you commented on, and tell him his fault between you and him alone.
Yeah.
Not over the internet, not in public, but alone. I mean, what part of alone are we missing?
And don't BCC, you know, every one of your friends and enemies out there, you know, blind carbon copy on your email. Go to your brother alone. And again, Dave, I think even beyond email, we need to go directly, geographically to our brother and engage with him.
And I think of the example of the Apostle Paul, who had some controversy within the church, and he went from his ministry, from the mission field, where he was in Asia Minor there, and he came all the way back to Jerusalem so that he could address the elders face-to-face in person. I think that sets the example, the precedent, that when a brother has something against us, even doctrinally, that we address that face-to-face, if at all possible.
Yeah, and the Apostle Paul didn't buy a plane ticket and fly across the country over 3 hours. The guy probably took a 4 to 5 day journey just to work the thing out. And this is not the sort of thing people want to do today, let alone establish relationships. I mean, this is what the guy says. I'm not particularly interested in a friendship with you, Mr. Swanson. That's why I'm not going to give you my name, my phone number. I don't want anything to do with you. I just want to say ugly things about you or think ugly things about you. Dave, you know what? I'm not interested in relationships. I just like throwing rocks at people. I mean, what is this? What is with that? That sounds about as pagan, as sinful, as unbelieving as you can imagine.
Yeah, something about the bond of peace and the spirit of unity just seems a little lacking there.
Let me say this as plainly as possible, my friends. Any Christian blogger who casts aspersions on another professing Christian in a public web forum who's not a member of a church accountable to ordained elders or ministers or pastors and who refuses to provide some means of contacting him personally by phone or in person is a yellow-bellied blogger. And as far as I'm concerned, his blog is not worthy of a second's worth of attention on the part of any true believer out there, all right? So stay away, stay a mile away from these people who are anonymous, they're casting aspersions, and they don't want to be held accountable by their own church. And there is no church to go to. And Matthew 18 says, if you have a hard time going directly to him, go to the church. But it's impossible to go to a church of a quote, unquote, believer who's not part of a church and will not be held accountable to church leaders, Dave.
You know, Kevin, there are companies that have internet filters that keep generally sexual matter off your computer or particularly foul language. I think internet filters for Christians should not let you receive a complaint against an elder if it doesn't have two or three witnesses, so that these blog pages wouldn't even come up on your screen even if you click the link. I think that would be a really good, good Christian ministry.
All right, couple problems now. We're going over on the blogosphere today on this issue of generations. The first problem was it is way too easy to publish or to hit the send key, and it's way too easy to read this garbage out there and believe every single word without the two or three witnesses required by God's word. The second issue I have today is that people seem to have a hard time dealing with controversies in the year 2006. In the kingdom of God, okay? People don't know how to deal with this. Let's say Doug Phillips, okay? You know Doug. He's been on the air a number of times on this program. Head of Vision Forum, you know. Let's say Doug dealt me a raw deal, okay? I mean, I don't know. He maybe hauled off and slugged my wife or came up short on a financial deal with me, or maybe I disagreed with him on some particular doctrine, or maybe, you know, he's counseling me and my wife. I don't know. And he raised his voice in a counseling situation. I'm thinking, man, this guy is being rough on me. Or maybe he left out a $15 gift on his income tax return or something. Okay, some problem comes up with Doug Phillips, and I get wind of it. So what do I do? All right, so again, folks, I'm not spreading anything negative about Doug. I'm just saying, hypothetically, let's say that some Christian leader out there sinned, did something wrong, and I got a problem with it. What do I do? Well, the first thing I do, now I'm assuming here I'm not part of his church right now, okay? First thing I do, though, is I go and I talk to him. And Dave, I don't think this happens 95% of the time. I have a feeling most of the time people do not go directly to the person and talk to them. How many times, Dave, have you heard somebody talk negatively about some other person in the Christian church and you ask them, have you talked to this guy? Did you go and just bring that up to him? And they say, well, no, not really. But that's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 18. All right, now let's assume that you're not satisfied with his answer, or let's now assume that he has not asked forgiveness, he doesn't admit to the fault, or whatever, and you're still having problems. The Bible says now you go back with two or three witnesses and you deal with it again. Now, the third thing you do is you contact his elders to whom he's accountable. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 18. You go to the church. Now, here's a problem. Not everybody has elders. But what you do, if he doesn't have elders, all right, maybe he's still part of a church, but he doesn't have elders to whom he is accountable. And, folks, as far as I'm concerned, a biblical church ought to have elders. But maybe the elder's sick, or maybe right now the church doesn't have elders because a couple of the elders ran away or whatever, okay? You still need to ask him if he's accountable to other churches where other elders or pastors might be able to make a wise judgment concerning the matter. This is exactly what happened in the Colorado Springs case. Remember the case, Dave, where the pastor was accused of homosexuality. What happened in that situation? I think it was three other pastors came in from other churches connected to this guy, and they made the call. That's legitimate. Now, all of this becomes unraveled, Dave, when A, there are no elders, when these people are not accountable to any church, when these people are not willing to go to a brother and talk to the brother, when sometimes they don't have the heart that's willing to assess whether or not this is a significant issue and calls for some action on your part. Sometimes they're very insignificant issues, and people are just nitpicking other people to part on these particular things. And sometimes they're hearts that just want to drag evil, wicked slander all over the blogosphere, and all of these things are, I think, a shame to the Church of Jesus Christ and a shame to Christ himself.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes you have to ask yourself, is what I'm doing, is this an offense that can be overlooked? And am I taking something as fact that might not be fact? After all, if I love this person, love is going to hope all things. Love will cover a multitude of offenses. And I need to ask myself whether or not am I serving the kingdom of God but in love here, or is this a necessary correction that must be made because it is, I don't know, a major heresy?
All right, back to internet gossip today, my friends. Do not countenance that gossip. The Word of God encourages us to avoid people who gossip and to make a wide berth around them. Don't countenance the gossip. And whatever you do, don't do it yourself. Again, don't gossip about it. Either overlook it or go to your brother directly and then go to the church and deal with it in that manner. Gossip is the attempt to be the judge, jury, and executioner at the same time. Gossip is getting people to suffer, is persecuting them and punishing them because you don't want to go through all the work of dealing with somebody directly and dealing with the issue through the church courts or through the civil courts. And the bottom line here is gossip doesn't do anything good. It doesn't accomplish anything. Gossip isn't edifying. It doesn't build up yourself. I mean, it may make you feel kind of good about doing, making somebody else feel bad, but that doesn't do you any good spiritually. It doesn't build up the people you're gossiping about. What good is it doing them? I mean, going on the blog and saying, wow, this is wonderful. I'm really getting edified here with all this negative garbage about me. It doesn't edify that. It doesn't edify the people that happen to be passing by and reading this stuff. Gossip doesn't edify people. Gossip usually has absolutely no interest in the people you're gossiping about. It's usually manifested by zero interest in confronting the person face to face. People who gossip have no interest whatsoever about picking up the phone and calling Kevin Swanson or flying out and dealing with him directly because they could care less about Kevin Swanson. All they want to do is just drag that garbage around for everybody else to see. Because that, my friends, is the character of their hearts. And gossip is so destructive. I have seen gossip rip and shred churches apart. I've seen hearts stabbed through, relationships ruined for 10 years, 20 years, because people gossiped. They took it to the blogosphere, or they just did it behind other people's backs. And relationships were ruined, rifts were formed, walls were built, and relationships were ruined in families and churches just because somebody opened their big mouth and dragged a bunch of garbage around everywhere for everybody else to hear. Gossip is evil. It's just plain evil, and it ought not to be countenanced by any true believer. That's the point today on this program. And let me encourage you to get a good book on human relationships, because, guys, beyond anything else, this is what we're about. We're about building godly relationships in a lost and lonely world. And I think Ken Sandy's book, The Peacemaker, is one of the very best books. This is how we do it, my friends. This is how we build relationships in a sinful world where we offend each other. We do it by means of peacemaking. And boy, Ken Sandy has written the very best book I know on the issue of peacemaking, and he's got a lot of good things on the use of the tongue in his book, The Peacemaker. Get the book, The Peacemaker, by Ken Sandy by coming to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on store. That's Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. You can get the book at my website, www.kevinswanson.com. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
We want to thank Fast Track Steel Buildings for sponsoring Generations Today. If your church or school is looking to expand, call Fast Track at 303-797-0991. They have buildings perfect for churches, gymnasiums, agricultural barns, riding arenas, and more. Call for a free brochure, 303-797-0991, and get your project started on the right track with Fast Track. 303-797-0991.
The reason I bring my family to Reformation Church is because of the strong preaching of the Word. Every week is and has been very insightful into the depths and riches of God's Word. I'm actually challenged again to grow deeper in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Reformation is also a body of believers who are warm, loving, and committed to the truth and to one another. It's a unique body of people who are very willing to stand up for their convictions. A group where the men of the congregation are actually leading their families, not perfectly, but truly are giving their best efforts to be true to what God has called them to as men. The elders are loving and care about the people and show their love in many ways.
Thanks, Jim. Reformation Church in Castle Rock meets at Douglas County High School on Front Street at 10:30 a.m. Sundays. Building strong families, a close community, and a generational reformation. Check us out at reformationchurch.com or call 303-648-9606.